Hi there, welcome to the Flight Risk Studios podcast show. I'm your host, Robert Bruton. It is April 19th, 2024, and thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast. I appreciate it very much. And we have been talking the last few big bunch of episodes about really being your own person, being you, having the confidence to be yourself, having the confidence to change, having the confidence to make your own informed decision, not following the herd, not following the pack. And we've talked about that in the sense that you can have a peer group, absolutely, but you don't have to always 110% agree with that peer group, and you don't always have to follow something that you're not comfortable with, that doesn't resonate with you. And that's the beauty of learning, you know, to believe in yourself. You know, we tend to, especially young people, you know, when we're in school or high school or college, we tend to go with the flow with our friends. And that's fine, but does it align with what you believe? You know, because, and here's why I question that, is because you see a lot of young people get asked questions that are very reasonable to ask in the situation that they're protesting, and they don't even have a damn clue other than, well, what's going on is bad. Well, okay, it is bad. War is bad, you know. Everything that has to do with hurting someone in any shape, form, or fashion is bad. But what brings you to a level of burning a flag when you don't even know why you're burning it? You're just burning it in protest of what? Do you really know, you know, when asked, you know, specific questions about things, it's amazing. There was I saw a thing, and it was just a deal, and they asked this young lady, they said, you know, hey, what language do they speak in Idaho? And her answer, truly, I don't know, potato? What? Huh? The interviewer looked at her like, what? And she goes, I don't know what they speak. But potato was the first thing that came to my head. Well, yes, Idaho is very famous for potatoes and growing potatoes, but they speak English there. It's America. We all speak English. Or we have a diverse culture group now. So, you know, there are many other languages, but the predominant language in the United States is English. So, you know, I've heard two people. I heard a congresswoman say this, and now I've heard a student say this, and I'm sad because I'm like, hang on just a second. We're failing you in a way. I'm not being critical or I guess I'm being critical of the education system, but I'm not being insensitive to their not understanding or knowing. We all say things that come from a place of, I just kind of pulled that out of my head and it was wrong. But she said, you know, why don't we visit the sun when they turn it off and it's cool? And I'm like, what? Wait, what? And she was like, yeah. She was like, really, and really saying this, why don't we, when they turn off the sun and it cools off, why don't we go visit it? And I'm like, because the sun never turns off. It just moves to another part of the world while you sleep. One part of the world is dark with the moon. The other part is bright with the sun. A few hours later, that part's dark, that part's bright. You know, and I'm sitting there going, what? Why? I just don't have any words. And so we've been talking about self-education. You can't go through life thinking or believing that someone turns off the sun. You know, you just can't. You know, if you want to have any level of success, how long are you going to work for somebody if you say something silly like that, you know, or do something and you know, are you going to be able to hold down a job? And it saddens me. I'm not teasing or being critical of a person that says such a thing. What I'm in contempt of is the education system that produced that result. Because she didn't get the value of her education, obviously. And that's sad. And that's why I say, you know, you may have to go it alone. And that's okay. I did it. I don't have it, you know, I mean, I went through high school and I have some varying degrees of college, but I never really finished all that. So I've had to learn more on the job training, life experience, and my own research. We've talked about it. You know, one of my most favorite places in the whole wide world to be is the library, mostly because I never realized the power that sits in a library. And you may be laughing, going, "Oh, that's just so stupid, dude." No, it's not. There is an amazing amount of power that can be had in the library. But you're going to have to go there and you're going to have to read. And we've talked about all that, how to quiet our mind, how to get in a state of learning, and how to do it more easily than it might have been when you were in a classroom. You know, some people just don't do well in a classroom setting, and that's cool. I was probably one of those people. That's why, I have a mishmash of stuff, because I'm able to, on my own terms, on my own time, and the way that I enjoy to do it, in a setting where I'm not being challenged or going, "Oh God, I hope she doesn't call on me," because I don't know. And I just don't do well in those things. I don't do well on testing. I never have. So, you know, you don't have to test yourself at the library. You can learn the information and apply it to your life. That's the real test, is did it work? Well, then if it did, guess what you got? An A. So you're going to have to build confidence, and that's what we get into today's show. Confidence is a crucial aspect of personal development and success. It is a belief in one's abilities, qualities, and judgment. A heavy level of self-confidence can help you tackle challenges, seize opportunities, and pursue your goals with determination. So the article that I wrote, we explore strategies and techniques to help you increase your confidence and reach your full potential. Okay, so we start out, you've got to identify your strengths and achievements. And it's always good to sit down with a pen and paper and just write down what you feel like are your strengths. What are you good at? You know, what achievements have you made in your life? And if you're young, you may not have many, if at all. You may not feel like you've achieved anything yet. And that's cool. You will. So, you know, have some self-reflection, recognizing your strengths and accomplishments, and take a moment to delve into your successes. No matter how small they may seem, create a list of positive qualities, skills, and talents you possess. And you might think they're silly skills or silly talents, you know, but it's a talent. So write it down. It's something that you do better than the average Joe, the average bear. if you've had any milestones in your life, you know, perhaps you got a really cool job one summer, perhaps you did an internship somewhere and were highly successful and everybody there loved you, you know. Maybe you learned how to cook on the grill. Maybe you learned, you know, how to cook your own meal. Those are all achievements. Because, you know, your first time doing it with no direction could prove to be very challenging. So give yourself that pat on the back. So, you know, the process of self-reflection helps reinforce your beliefs and your capabilities. It helps you say, damn, I am pretty good at that. You know? And then deciding from there how you can expand on it, how you can make it better, how you can bring it more into the fold of your life. You know, I heard something and I posted this the other day, and I wrote this in the article. I didn't use the terminology that I should have, so I may go back and edit it a little bit. But you know, setting realistic goals. Now here is something about, is everybody understands, everybody, it's a huge buzzword. What are your goals? Your parents are even going to ask you, do you have any goals? What are your goals in life? And the answer is this. If you set a goal, that's if you want to do something one time. Okay? My goal is to make $1 million. And I'm using that as an example. Okay? If you set a goal, I want to make $1 million. Okay? Well, do you want to make $1 million one time, or do you want to make $1 million 10 times? So what a better phrase would be is, you know, my goals are not goals, but systems. What system do you have in place to blow by all your goals? Because goals are a one-time thing. You can have achievements, but if you have multiple achievements along the way, because you have systems in place that allow you to succeed, and you adjust and you modify and you move, then systems become your best friend. So have a system for operating your business. Have a system for finding good friends and good relationships. Don't just set a goal. I want to find, you know, well, I guess in a sense, if you're going to find a husband or a wife, that should be a goal, because that should be a one-time thing. So a system to do that is probably not. There is an exception to the rule. And there's exception to all of our rules that we live under. You know? As long as we're not breaking the law, there are exceptions to the rule. You know? You don't have to go down the same path as another person to get to the same destination. So set realistic goals, but celebrate the systems that you put in place to get to there, and then go beyond just that goal. And a system in your life, a system in your business, a system in your life will allow you to do that. You know, and set, because here's the thing, you can set a goal, but you really have to sit, take a better look at it than just that. You have to say, what makes me smile when I'm doing it? What gives me purpose? What gives me strength? What do I do that I just can't get enough of it? So calibrate your life accordingly. Do the things that give you that sense of purpose, direction, and drive. Versus just setting a goal and saying, okay, sitting on the couch and ordering a Domino's pizza and, you know, telling the universe, okay, universe, I want $1 million. I'll see you by the end of the year with all that money in my bank. No, you're going to have to work for that. Sorry. You can't just sit on your ass and not do anything. It's not going to, your long-term aspirations aren't going to come together without work. You know, and take manageable steps. The one thing that I've learned in my years is, you know, you can overwhelm yourself really, really easy. So, you know, if you set daily expectations, you know, that are manageable, that you've organized your day, because all you have is today, you know, and so you organize yourself and you get a mountain of work done that day, that's an achievement. That's something to pat yourself on the back for. And you're going to have days where you go, you know, my day just got out from under me and I lost everything. And that too is okay. Just don't do it all the time. And recognize it and set the expectation with yourself that you're not going to do it anymore. And don't be harsh on yourself. Because usually, you know, if somebody's getting on to you for doing something, chances are you were more hard on yourself for making a mistake than that person could ever be chastising you for whatever you did. So, you know, that's something that you can believe. You know, don't, because really the only person on this planet that you really truly have to make sure that you take care of and do is yourself. And I don't mean that in a selfish way. I mean, you know, you can't be a good parent unless you're in a good spot. You can't be a good spouse unless you're in a good spot. Can't be a good student unless you're in a good spot. Can't be a good employee unless you're in a good spot with yourself. So it's not about, you know, putting yourself above someone else. It's about taking care of you and taking care of what you need inside in order for you to be fulfilled. Because if all those things are aligned, then guess what you bring to the table? A pretty formidable you. All of a sudden, you know, your spouse is hugging your neck and saying, I love our life. You help me be a better person. You make me feel safe and loved. You make me feel connected to something that's bigger than myself. You know, whatever that case may be, but when you bring that person to any relationship, that's a formidable you. Very formidable. So, you know, and taking time to review your progress, you know, and what you can do is really kind of journal your day and keep some, you know, I just keep a piece of paper and a pen and kind of write down what all activities I've done. Because, you know, you can, if you really get in a routine and you're doing a lot of stuff, you don't want to, and your mind is focused, it's real easy to do something over again that you said, I already did that this morning, damn it. You know, I mean, you're one ahead for tomorrow, but, you know, it's easy to lose track of what you've done. So make yourself a system that allows you to not cross the same real estate twice. You know, and you can do it. It's really, truly not that hard to do. If you just take time to embrace the process, embrace what you do, and go back and adjust, you know, and adjust the way that you look at things. And if you're doing that in small, bite-sized bits and not overwhelming your head, that too makes you, in today's buzzword, you know, what's today's word? There's Pee Wee Herman always had a word of the day. Formidable is our word of the day today. It makes you a formidable person. A force to be reckoned with. Learn and develop. Oh, crap. Oops. I hit my phone and knocked it on and got the dog's attention. They're all laying here in the studio. All right. Everybody can lay back down now. Embrace a growth mindset. You know, adopting a growth mindset is just a belief. It's a commitment to your personal growth and confidence. You know, constantly be learning. Constantly be thirsty for knowledge. Because I can tell you unequivocally that knowledge is power. It's a cliche, but knowledge is power. It truly is. You know, instead of viewing challenges as threats to your psyche or your being, see them as opportunities for learning and personal growth. Embrace failure as a necessary part of the learning process and use it as a stepping stone to improvement. By cultivating a growth mindset, you commit to becoming more resilient, adaptable, and confident in overcoming obstacles and reaching your goals. The cool thing is that when you become adaptable, that means you're open-minded. You know, you may see things one way, but you may have to adapt to work within that sphere for a minute and be adaptable. And adaptable does not mean that you forego your principles. Adaptable just means that you look at things in a different direction. You don't have to forego your principles. You just have to be able to say, okay, I'm going to do it this way instead of this way. I'm going to go down this path instead of that path. You know, and a big thing. And like for me, something I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to drive to, you know, the place where I like to go is Port Aransas, Texas. And tomorrow I'm going to go down to Port Aransas because it's my place to practice self-care, my well-being. I get to hang out on the beach. I get to walk out on the jetty because there's a jetty at the Port Aransas ship channel. That goes way, way out. And it's really cool. And if the big ships are coming in, tankers and other ships, what's really cool is the dolphins play in front of it. And it's just, you know, it's just something to see. It's relaxing. It's a moment. There's families out there having fun. People are fishing. You're watching folks catch fish. It's just, it's my relax. It's my chill moment. So we are going to take a very short break because when you're listening to this, I promise it's probably just going to pop right back into the next version. But I'm going to take a quick break and we will be right back. And thanks, we're back. So continuing on, let me get back in. Okay, here we go. All right, so we talked about practicing self-compassion, treating yourself with kindness in a lot of the past shows, and you know, yeah, you've got to, and we're always the hardest on ourselves, you know, and so learning to be okay with, you know, a learning curve, time, you know, and that's where it gets back to that meditation and learn how to breathe and to enjoy the moment, you know, and enjoy the process and enjoy the journey. So learning to have some compassion for yourself is a major step. challenge your comfort zones, stepping outside your norm, okay? Here's the thing, if you're going to learn how to be more successful in whatever endeavor in your life, okay, your brain is going to be used to status quo, okay? It's going to be used to the level that you're at today. So you're going to have to teach your brain and encourage your brain that the discomfort that it's feeling from doing something that's outside the norm of what you do, and your brain's telling you, oh man, you can't do this, shut her down, nope, shut it down, we're not doing this, you have to tell yourself to move beyond that. You have to give your brain something new to draw from. You know, you can't, when there's updates to your computer, think of your brain as just that. You need to do updates to your brain, updates to your consciousness, updates to your subconscious, so that your brain's not going, oh no, we've never been here before, this is painful. You know, and when I'm talking about painful, I'm talking about, you know, it could be stressful, hard to do, you know, anxiety goes up, that type of thing. And you have to teach yourself that that's something you can move beyond, just like runners doing a marathon. They hit the wall and everything in their body starts telling them, or I shouldn't say their brain tells them, rather, not everything in their body, but their brain tells them that everything in your body needs to shut down. And people quit. And what they've come to find out after hundreds of studies is that is just a psychosomatic thing. It's in your head. It's not, your body's not hurting. You're not in danger. You know, you're basically having to push your brain through pain that it's never experienced before. Stress levels it's never experienced before. But once you do it, guess what happens? The next time it's not as intense, the next time it's not as intense, until you get to a new level of, wow, we've pushed beyond that point, now we're at a new, even farther level, and you may find some resistance there, but you're retraining and re-downloading an update into your head that allows you to move forward in a more meaningful way in your life. Because now your head's telling you, okay, we got this, let's go. So challenge your comfort zone all the time. This is a powerful building, and this is a powerful way to build confidence, I should say. You know, embrace new experiences, take calculated risks, face your fears head on. Whether it's public speaking, networking, or trying a new hobby, pushing yourself beyond your usual boundaries help you develop a resilience and self-assurance. Start with small steps. You don't got to take some big giant thing. You know, that's what I said. Take bite-sized chunks. Don't overwhelm your head. Push, but don't push yourself to the point where you quit. So, you know, take bite-sized chunks and make progress every day. You know, if you're afraid of approaching people, let's say you want to approach someone online, not in a dating sense, but you want to approach them and send them a note and say, hey, I love your work. You know, I was wondering if I could, you know, ask a couple of questions. And being fearful of doing that. Well, what if they say no? Well, okay, what if they do say no? What if they don't even answer? I can tell you how many people I've sent a note to and never heard a thing back. But it doesn't stop me from asking questions or moving forward. I just don't think of it in the sense that it's some slide on me, because it's not. You always have to remember, somebody's going through some backstory that you're unfamiliar with in their life. So whether they're shitty to you, nice to you, whatever, it's usually something that's going on in their life that's dictating that deal, that response. It has nothing to do with you and everything to do with their backstory. So try today something. Do a little something that helps you. You know, and practice assertiveness and boundary setting. You know, so many people allow things to happen in their life that, you know, I set a boundary. One of the things I had some people, and I honestly thought they were my friends, and then when and then the first time I get invited to an event with them, let me just tell you the story. So if you follow me, you know that we're documentary filmmakers. I'm a professional photographer and a photojournalist. So obviously I have, thank God, over the years been able to get some really cool camera gear together. I didn't start out with that, but I do have a couple of pieces in my camera inventory that I worked hard to get and am very proud of. And so anyway, I'm out, you know, these people, they actually asked me out to have a drink and some appetizers at a happy hour at a local restaurant that we like. And so anyway, they asked me, they said, hey, do you want to come to a barbecue? And I said, yeah, sure. And then I said, man, thanks. I didn't have any place to go, so that'll be a lot of fun. So I think I'm going to this cool barbecue. I'm sit back. It's outside. The weather where I am is beautiful. And so I was thinking, yeah, this is going to be fun. And a couple minutes later, oh, yeah, by the way, why don't you bring your camera and your drone and take pictures of our family? You'll find that fun because that's what you do. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, it's what I do, and I don't do it for free. But they put me in a terrible situation, and I didn't, you know, I was like, wow, now all of a sudden I gotta back out, or, you know, and I, you know, I could do one of a couple of things. I could have said, no, I don't do that, and thanks for the invite, but I'm not coming, which, you know, that's one way, I suppose, I could have done it. The other thing is I said, okay, look, I'm not going to take a whole lot of pictures, but I'll take some pictures of your family if you want to get together and put people in a thing. And I'm not editing. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to take them straight off my camera, and I'm going to send them to you. I said, because this is not really, you know, all of this stuff is expensive and a big time-consuming thing for me. People just act like, well, can't you just come? And then I send them the pictures, and they want edits. And I'm like, okay, so you want me to take time out of my day because I was being invited to a barbecue that, under the false pretense that they were inviting me and not me and my cameras. You know, and some of you may be saying, well, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal because, you know, I do this for a living. I don't, you know, I if you're going to invite me to do something, or if you want me to come and take pictures, I would a whole lot rather said, hey, man, can you do us a favor? Do you mind coming over? We really don't have anything to pay you, but could you come over and take some pictures? And I would have happily done that. But to the way that it was done, it was, you know, I said yes, and then they come back to me and, oh, yeah, can you bring your cameras and your drone and all this and take, you know, we'd like some drone footage, and we'd like, you know, these pictures. We'd like all these different pictures. And I'm going, am I invited to a barbecue, or am I invited to a camera shoot? And it really hurt my feelings. And I was like, okay, I'll come take a couple of pictures. And then to have the balls to ask me for edits. No, I said, look, I got a lot of projects right now. I can't really, you know, there's free editing software on your computer. Use it, you know, if you want it to look a different way. But you didn't hire me to take wedding pictures, for Christ's sake. You know, you asked me to take a few pictures under false pretenses. That's what you get. They were good pictures. That, you know, I mean, my gear and my skill level, well, yeah, they were, you know, there were some really nice shots in there. But I didn't set that boundary. And so it led me to realize that, you know, I have to set healthy boundaries. And if that's what the way you're going to use me, then I don't need friends like that. Especially when you don't ask me for a favor, you basically assume it. You know, and that's not really knowing full well that, you know, they damn sure, with the camera gear that I have, they couldn't afford to hire somebody at that level of the game. They'd have charged them over $1,000. My commercial daily shoot is $1,500 minimum. So, and then edits and all that are extra. Depends on what all you want the pictures to look right. If you're paying me for it, then yeah, I'm going to spend a lot of time fixing it up and getting it perfect for you, the client. So set healthy boundaries. You know? And so there was a confidence thing there for me that honestly I should have said, you know what, I didn't realize you needed a camera crew to come to your barbecue. I misunderstood. I really don't have time in my schedule to do that. And most people are going to go, well, why the hell? It's just pointing a camera. No, it's, you know, there's more to it than that. I spent a shitload of money on my gear. And I do it for a living. Be like you going to Annie Leibovitz and going, hey, you know, can you shoot a cover for me? But, I, you know, we can have you over. she's not going to bring her camera to, you know, when you get invited to an event, they're inviting you, not you and your gear. If they're inviting you and your gear, that's a job. So, as you can tell, it kind of worked me up. So I had to build the confidence in order to figure out ways to set those boundaries, because honestly, that's the first time it's really ever happened where I've had people invite me and under the guise of being my friend and then telling me to bring all my camera gear and my drones and all that kind of shit. And I'm like, yeah, no, have a nice day. But it's the first and last time for that. You know, but if you came to me and said, hey, Bob, we're, you know, this is the thing. Could you help us out? I'm about 99% on, I probably, if I don't have something that day, I would probably come over and shoot for you just as a friend thing. But I wasn't asked as a friend. So there's the difference. And that's why you have to set a clear boundary for everybody and respect being part of that. You know, something I have to do, learn how to do, is practice saying no when necessary without feeling guilty or apologetic. And I have a real hard time with this one, everybody. So, you know, I don't, a lot, it's hard for me to tell people no when I should, say no. So that's something that I continue to struggle with, and something that I'm currently working on that, like I say, everything in my shows and all the things that I do are all about things that I'm working on and things that I have either done, achieved, or that I'm working on, and I share my insight to that. So then hopes that it helps you take not a small step, but a larger step forward. And then celebrating success. And you guys have heard me talk about, you know, there are times when I'll look into my my author stuff on Amazon. I'll look at reports and, you know, maybe there's something there, and I open the report and it says 26 cents, you know, 10 cents, or it says some, you know, and then there's other days that I open it up and it says $2,600. It says, you know, $200. It says some bigger number. But I'm just, I celebrate that as much as I celebrate even a larger number, because it's still a step forward. It might be that 26 cents that I get to the end of the year. And my dad taught me this. He said, do you want to tell your boss or your shareholders or your whoever that you made $999,999? Or do you want to be sure and count that $1 and say, we did $1 million this year? What sounds better? Count everything as a win. Every dollar penny counts. And that stood with me from the day he told me. I haven't forgotten it. It's years and years and years ago. You know, do you want to tell your boss that you made $999,999? Or do you want to tell him you did $1 million because you made every dollar count? You saved money on a bill that put you over. You did whatever it took, you know, to earn that extra dollar in order to say, I did $1 million in sales. So celebrate setbacks in the sense that you learn from it. You know, you have to learn to celebrate success and learn from setbacks. And so, I kind of phrased that wrong a minute ago, so I learned to celebrate setbacks. No, you learn from setbacks, sorry. And your setbacks are opportunities to learn. They're nothing more. They, you know, it's just you needing to go, well, I need to back up the car and I need to go down this road and see where that takes me. And it may take you to a dead end. It may take you down the road and you might go, oh shit, or it may take you down the road and you get stuck. So now you're going to have to figure out your way how to get unstuck and get back on the main road. Either way, this is all learning. It's all teaching you patience, how to creatively think your way through an issue. And you want to reflect on all this. Take some time to review, pat yourself on the back, kick yourself in the butt if needed. No matter how small an event seems, either applaud it or learn from it. You know, and give yourself credit for making the effort. You know, when people, if people are teasing you, and sadly, people around you, close to you, may be going, see, dude, I told you. And brush it off. Don't listen to naysayers. Just because you had a bad day today, here's what I'm saying. And I talked about this yesterday. Michael Jordan freely admits that he missed more times taking a game-winning shot that he was asked to make, had the ball, missed the shot, than he actually made. And who would you arguably say is one of the best, if not the best, NBA player in history? Michael Jordan. He famously says he had to fail to succeed. Just because he missed that shot doesn't mean he's not going to slam dunk the next one. Just because Nolan Ryan, you know, gave up two runs doesn't mean he's going to come back and clean up the next inning. The man set so many records that it really is virtually impossible for anybody to break his records. If you go back and look at him, Nolan Ryan, he played baseball in Texas. And if you go back and research the guy and you look at his records, it's pretty damned impressive. I didn't realize, because I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I did get to see him play in Houston, and I did get to see him play when he played for the Rangers. And so anywho, he was a pretty amazing dude. But when you look and you look at what a player today would have to do in order to beat his record, the dude was, there's just, you know, you look at it and it's really no way. But what's cool is, and when you think about it, when you think about guys like Tiger Woods, for example, no, everybody thought Tiger Woods was just unbeatable. That, man, this is a guy that if you're golfing against him, you ain't going to beat him. And then he started getting beat. Because other players rose to the occasion. And I'm certain somewhere down the road, somebody's going to rise to the occasion, and there'll be another Nolan Ryan, but currently there is not. And currently there is not anybody that's even close to him, as far as I know. So I would encourage you to Google him and look at his Major League Baseball stats. It doesn't matter if you hate baseball or whatever. Look at the man's stats. Man, woman, whoever you are. It doesn't matter. Look at the man's stats. And you will see something truly amazing, and celebrate people's achievement. Go, man, that is the coolest thing. Because it does. It makes you smile. And that's never, ever a bad thing. So, and this is something that I catch myself having to do all the time. In the sense that I need to do it more. Surround yourself with inspiration and positivity. Immerse yourself in an environment that nurtures confidence and positivity. Read inspiring books. Listen to motivational podcasts. Hello. Or watch uplifting videos that align with your goals and values. Surround yourself with visual reminders of your strengths, achievements, and aspirations. Create a vision board or display affirmations in your workspace to keep your goals and positive mindset at the forefront. By surrounding yourself with inspiration and positivity, you create a supportive environment that fosters confidence and personal growth. Where that flies off the track is there is so much bullshit being spewed on social media, and so many how many of you get caught watching videos that have violence in them? You see people getting beat up on the subway, crashes, you see policemen overstepping their bounds, you see the tyranny of all that, you see people doing heinous activities. You see war, you see all of these things, and you get caught up in it. You absolutely get caught up in it. Why? Because I guess we all have a twisted sense of watching some fucked up shit. And so you have to remind yourself to unplug from that and listen to something that gives you value, builds you, helps you, inspires you, makes you smile. I have so many dog channels and other things that, you know, rescues and wildlife stuff that I follow, so that my feed's not totally drowned in bullshit. Besides the fact, I love all those kind of things. I love dog rescue stories. I love cute pictures of dogs and all that kind of shit. I'm a big dog person. I love all that. All right, we're going to take a quick water break so that I don't cough into the microphone. And I will be right back. Give me just a sec. Okay. Like I said, we'd be right back, so here we are. So I want to kind of finish this up. One of the things that you have to remember in this life is everything is about boosting confidence, boosting your knowledge, and that's never a bad thing. so many people are stuck in a peer group where, you know, if you tell them, I'm going to stay home tonight and read a book. I'm doing some studying. I'm doing some research. Oh, come on, man. We're going to have drinks and there's going to be all these people there and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and being able to have the confidence to set that boundary and not feel guilty from it or feel like you're missing out. Life doesn't go by that fast that you won't have other opportunities to be out with your friends, celebrating with your friends. But at the end of the day, this life is your life. So live it to its fullest with, and you'd be surprised. I mean, I hated learning when I was in high school. I didn't want to do it. Wanted to party, wanted to ski, wanted to do all the things, smoke weed, wanted to do all the things that I did. And today I embrace it and I'm sad to the fact that I didn't take it more seriously. So if you're a young person, I can tell you, take this seriously because you will benefit in ways that you have no idea. I enjoy learning. I like to learn new things. I like to research and find out new stuff that you go, son of a bitch, I wish I knew that. I can't tell you how many things that I've learned maybe in the last couple years that I'm going, God dang, if I'd have just known this before. Because it's not new information that hasn't been on the planet, some not some new revolutionary thing. It's stuff that's been out there forever. I realize there's like self-help style books that go all the way back into ancient civilizations. It's kind of cool. People thought about this shit and people, it's been on their mind for centuries. Kind of a cool thing to think about. It's not something new. It's not something, you know. But it's things that people thought about for centuries. So think about what that boundary is that you are going to set. Make a commitment to your personal growth. Make a commitment to your own education. Don't worry about what naysayers do. In fact, I always tell people the best thing I can tell you to do or the best advice I have, don't tell people till you're ready to tell people. If you tell people too soon, you're going to get a lot of naysayers that are going, how the hell are you going to do that? You know, you're stupid, man. There's no way. You can't even get up on time or you can't spell cat. How are you going to write a novel? How are you going to shoot a feature-length film? You don't even have a camera. It's not resources, it's resourcefulness. It's not a lack of knowledge, it is gaining knowledge. You can watch a masterclass given by Martin Scorsese, for God's sake. Annie Leibovitz has a masterclass, if you're a photographer. You know, that's one of the coolest things out there in my mind is seeing, and there's a lot of this stuff that you can find for free if you can't afford a master's class subscription. Shit, there's a ton of stuff out there for free. Go watch Peter McKinnon. If you're a photography or film guy, go watch Peter McKinnon on YouTube. Watch Sarah Dietschy on YouTube. And there's dozens more. You know, watch, Nikon has great stuff. Nikon ambassadors put up great stuff. They just bought Red, which is a movie camera. I'm like, hell yeah, because that was something that I thought, you know, if I, my next big piece of gear, my next big thing that I want to learn to do is utilize Red. in my filmmaking process. I do have sources where I can go rent them, but I would like to own one day. Just say I did. So it's exciting because they merge with Nikon. So I'm like, that's totally cool to me. Sorry to be boring. But remember, confidence is not about being perfect. It's about believing in yourself. And that takes time to learn, okay? Because if you've gone your whole life where you doubt yourself, you say, man, I just can't learn this shit. It's because you haven't really spent any real time trying to learn it. I guarantee that's the problem. I went to class. Okay, well, maybe you're not a class person. Maybe you're not and I mean that in the sense that maybe you don't learn well in a classroom setting. Watch some videos. You know, that way you can lay on the couch, man. You can go to the library. They always have big, comfy chairs. And sit down and learn. Read. There's some good documentaries about filmmakers. Hell, there's a documentary about Steven Spielberg on HBO. It's really good about his life. There's a couple other documentary guys out there watching stuff about Stanley Kubrick. Not only was he a genius that was incredibly hard to work with, but, you know, you talk about somebody who's clouded in controversy. They think that, you know, conspiracy theorists think that he's the filmmaker that faked all the footage for the moon landing. Whether you believe or don't believe it, it's still pretty cool to go in and look at it and go, shit, man. Because some of the stuff you're kind of looking at, you know, his movies, and you're kind of looking at, and you're going, ew, that's kind of scary. It kind of looks like it. But, you know, who knows? Not to mention, he was just horribly difficult to work with. But most guys at his artistic level are. So, I hope all these things are helping you. I hope all these things are inspiring you. It warms my heart that I have the audience that I do, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your continued support and listening. If you learn to do all these things, gradually increase your confidence, you'll unlock your full potential over a span of time. Nothing happens overnight. This ain't some, you know, midnight to 1 a.m. infomercial show about how to buy, you know, houses with zero money down. You know, no, this is not a bullshit thing. This is a real thing. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. So, you know, anybody, you know, you can, God bless you if you become a success overnight. You might very well. But in the meantime, learn to embrace your unique qualities. Learn to learn to pursue. Learn that there's a difference between resources and resourcefulness. If you become resourceful, you'll become successful. Let me say that one more time. If you become resourceful, you will become a success. And you will have a fulfilling life. Because wouldn't it be nice to be sitting there with your wife or husband and holding each other's hands and looking back on your life and going, man, what a ride. We did, you know, part of it we did together, part of it you did on your own, part of it she or he did on her own, and you made a real contribution. You know, it's like Irma Bombeck says, you know, when she goes up to the pearly gates and she's asked, you know, well, how'd it go? She basically, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, is, I used everything that you gave me. I got nothing left. So are you using everything that God gave you, or the universe, or, you know, I don't want to put you off if you're, you know, if you're agnostic or whatever, you know, that's your belief, but however you look at life, you know, are you using everything, every gift that was given to you, no matter where it came from? Are you using it up? So that's the real question. All right, gang, we are going to call it a day. The one thing that I want to remind you is that please, we do have a link in our bio that will take you where you can go look at my books on Amazon. I hope that you'll do that and consider purchasing one. They're all about human life and how you can do to be a better you. And I share a lot of insights and a lot of personal stuff, and I hope that you find it relevant and useful. So I appreciate that very much, and thank you for tuning in. This is the Flight Risk Studios podcast show. Your host, Robert Bruton, and I am signing off and saying bye for now.